Welcome to another edition of the 5th and Inches podcast. We haven't been with you in a while, but today we're here to talk some college football, and we're joined by Jason Schroeder, the college football expert, on the phone here. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here, Alex. Ready to talk some more football, as always.
All right. Now, first off, I mean, you've been at U of I here for a couple weeks now, I think, with their football team. I guess I kind of want to start with them. How are they looking, especially, let's start with Nathan Shieldhouse. I don't know if you've seen anything of him so far this summer.
Yeah, actually, we just had our first live scrimmage last night, inter-squad scrimmage.
Okay.
And Shieldhouse, obviously, was the first-string quarterback. I thought the offense as a whole looked really good, and Shieldhouse did well managing the game and running the offense. I think he was 8 for 12 or something like that. He had good numbers last night. No interceptions, no fumbles. He played a really smart game. The defense, you know, on the other hand, they struggled last night. It's hard to tell when you're playing your own team. You know, you never know if it's bad offense or good defense. But last night, I think the offense clearly won over the defense. But, you know, there's a lot of good we took away from the scrims last night.
Yeah, you know, definitely sounds pretty good. Sounds like you're pretty confident in the offense, obviously. But you guys did lose Juice last year and Aurelius Ben last year to the draft. You know, who is going to step up in their place this year, especially at receiver?
Yeah, at receiver, we got a lot of returning guys. We lost Ben was the big one, but not much else other than that. So most of the core receiving group is back intact. And another freshman, ironically, wearing number 9, the number that Ben wore, he just turned a bunch of heads last night. He had an outstanding scrimmage, and I think he's going to be a great player. He's built like Ben, and he runs like Ben. He has great hands. He just made some unbelievable plays last night. So, the receivers are looking pretty good, I think, but you never know until they get out there on the field September 4th.
What is Zook? What's the impression you're getting from Ron Zook right now about his team?
You know, he from all the interviews that he's given, he says he feels a lot more relaxed than he ever has. This whole summer, he's able to do some things that he's never able to do with his wife and with his family, just because he used to be so involved with the game planning and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now he's kind of taking a step back. He's letting the coordinators do their jobs, and sounds like he's more relaxed than he's ever been.
He's more relaxed, but his seat is hotter than it's ever been, I guess.
You could probably say that. But regardless, yeah, it sounds like he's going to have 2 years to prove what he can do, because all the new coaches they brought in have 2-year contracts. So, you know, if they show some improvement this year, he'll definitely be back for the 2011 season. And we'll reevaluate after that, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. Let's look at their schedule here. You know, I blogged just a few days ago. I had a Big Ten conference kind of prediction blog, and I picked Illinois to give Ohio State probably one of its toughest tests of the year, because, you know, I looked back at the 2002, I think it was, Ohio State national title team. And Illinois was its toughest team of the year. What was its toughest game of the year? And so, I feel like U of I might have a chance in that game to surprise some people, because since it's so early in the season, you know, Ohio State could get surprised that early.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up that 2002 game. Illinois lost that time. I remember. They had a shot to end zone on the last play of overtime. Hit away, and they had a chance to win the game right there. And you can go back to the 2006 season. Illinois also played Ohio State in Champaign. That was the year Illinois was 2-10, and Ohio State, that was the year they played Florida in the title game and lost. But Illinois gave Ohio State a tough game. They lost 17-10, but Ohio State never really had control of the game. And just funny things happen when Ohio State comes to Champaign. It doesn't matter how good Illinois is, really. So, yeah, like you said, you never know. It could be a tough game for the Buckeyes.
Now, even if Ohio State wins that game, which you would think they certainly should, Illinois has a three-game stretch there at home against Ohio State, and then a couple road games, Penn State and Michigan State. That could be an 0-3 stretch that kind of just tears apart the team, I feel like.
Yeah, for a young team that's trying to build up some confidence, that's about the worst way possible you could start out the Big Ten. So they're going to need to win their first three non-conference games so they have a little confidence going into that tough conference stretch.
Yeah, well, tough. Okay, well, speaking of their first three non-conference games, Missouri's their first game of the season. How do they have to set the tone there? Or if they lose that game, does that make a difference if they were to win it? Like, could the seasons be completely different if that game were to go either way?
Yeah, definitely. If Illinois pulled out a win there, I think we could see some good things happen that year. Or, I mean, this coming year. But in the past, when Illinois went to the Rose Bowl in 07, they lost that opener to Missouri and went on to win 9 games. When they went to the Rose Bowl back in 1984, they lost the opener to Missouri and then won the rest of their games and went to the Rose Bowl. So it hasn't devastated them in the past all the time. I mean, you could make an argument the last 2 years it kind of made the season go down the tubes, but, you know, they can rebound as they've shown in the past.
When do they get back to the Rose Bowl from here?
Well, that's a tough question. I'd say,
it's a tough question, obviously, because you just have to wonder when do the top 5 or 6 teams in this conference start to go down, or when does Illinois start getting recruits?
Exactly, that's tough. Next year, a lot of people are saying could be a good year because Illinois has 8 home games. We've got almost their entire defense and offense returning, and it'll be in year 2 of brand new system, so they'll have it figured out, and they'll be in year 2 of a new quarterback, so he won't be an experienced freshman anymore. So the next year, I mean, they could make some noise next year. The problem is, you got Nebraska joining the Big Ten, and that's never an easy game for anybody.
Yep.
So it seems like as Illinois looks to be getting better, so is the rest of the conference, which is too bad for Illinois.
Right. You know, I feel like sometimes losing a coach and then signing a new one can help a team because it kind of gets a buzz around the stadium, around the football program. So isn't there any chance that Ron Zook getting fired in a year or two could end up being a good thing if they bring in some new name that people have heard a little bit of, some assistant coach or something that is ready to take the leap to head coach?
You know, it could, but I think anytime you start over with a new head coach, you know, you almost start over at square one again. He's got to build all those recruiting contacts. You know, you got to get into a new system again. So they want to avoid having to start over at all costs because, you know, it just sets the program back even further. I guess it depends how big the name is that they can bring in.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I mean, like, you know, Ron Turner was before Ron Zook, correct?
That's right.
And, you know, bringing in Ron Zook and losing Turner was the best thing that's happened to U of I in the last 4 years, 5 years, or whatever.
That's true, yeah. If they could spend the money to get a big name if they need to, you know, it could definitely help out. Problem is, when Zook first started, he had to start over from square one pretty much, so that was 2 or 3 lost years that, you know, they were set back. Same when Turner started 2 or 3 years before he went to the Sugar Bowl. They were pretty bad. So I know the AD wants to retain the head coach for as long as possible.
Right. Now, Ron Turner went to the Sugar Bowl with Kirk Kittner, right?
That's right.
So is the quarterback the key to this offense, basically? Like, if they have a very good quarterback, then is this a successful team?
Yeah, I definitely think it all starts with the quarterback. Right now, Illinois's got some great running backs, a decent line, and some good receivers, and, you know, that doesn't mean a whole lot if you don't have a quarterback who can get them all the ball and handle the offense.
Right.
So, yeah, you def- the quarterback play. It's like, you know, a good shortstop play in baseball, name any, a point guard play in basketball, name any sport. There's a position like that where you need to be solid every year.
All right. Let's look at the Big Ten as the whole. Like, I mean, it's got to be an exciting year because, I mean, there's a few teams that could contend for a national title. I mean, what's kind of the feeling you're getting about this year coming up?
Yeah, it sounds like Ohio State is just loaded, as loaded as ever, and a lot of people are picking them playing the national title game again. For some reason, picking them to win it this year and get back to their glory. But also, as you mentioned, there'd be multiple teams that could contend. A lot of people are high on Iowa after what they did last year, and they got a lot of those guys back. And then people are saying not to sleep on Wisconsin either. They got a great core of guys back this year. One of the best running backs in the country, and John Clay, and an outstanding line. They always have a great line up there in Wisconsin. So I'd say those are probably the main three, and any of those could probably contend for a BCS Bowl, if not the national title.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin's one of the more intriguing teams in this conference just because, you know, I was thinking about this last night preparing for this podcast, and, you know, I was just thinking, what if John Clay, you know, is the reincarnation of Ron Dane. I mean, he took them to a Rose Bowl, and that team was very similar to this one.
Absolutely, and it's funny, you look at the two running backs, and Clay, and they're built the same, and they run the same style, so they can definitely see parallels there.
Now, I mean, also another thing about Wisconsin, and I know one of my friends is going to appreciate me talking about this, is Scott Tolzien. He's a big fan of him, but, you know, they say that, you know, he's a returning starter, he's got a year under his belt, and so he should be good, but I've just always been accustomed to Wisconsin quarterbacks that don't live up to the same, you know, hype or, you know, whatever of all the rest of the quarterbacks in the conference.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. Wisconsin never really has a star quarterback, a stud. They always recruit these lesser-known guys that turn out to be productive in the offense. But, yeah, you go back a couple of years ago, they had a guy named Tyler Donovan. Similar situation to Tolzien and Donovan. He didn't perform very well as a senior and didn't go out in a very good way. So you wonder, maybe Tolzien will follow the same path. You never know.
Regardless, if Wisconsin really does have Ron Dane in John Clay and he's just the most dominant player in the nation and he wins the Heisman, are they going to a Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. The season for them could come down to their matchup with Ohio State in late November. I'm trying to remember if that game is in Columbus or Madison, but a lot of people are circling that right now as this game will put somebody in the Rose Bowl. And you never know, you know, if Ohio State wins that game and they're undefeated, they could end up going to the title game, and Wisconsin could still go to the Rose Bowl. So, you know, you never know. That's what's good for the Big Ten, having some title contenders. That opens up the spot for another team to go to a Rose Bowl.
Here's what I think is different about 2010 compared to 1999 when Ron Dane was playing. I think Wisconsin, John Clay, is a very good running back. Now, granted, he probably won't be very good in a spread-oriented NFL, but in the Big Ten this year, they have defenses now that are really built to stop the run more than anything, with Ohio State and Iowa having two of the best defensive lines in the nation.
Yeah, for sure. And as a whole, I think the defenses are getting faster, too. So that'll just close up some of the gaps for the running backs to break through. And I guess that's where John Clay stands out, because, you know, if a gap closes and he can't get through, he's a guy that can plow over people because of the way he's built. Not one of those backs that he's going to get around people. He's just going to, he'll go through them. So that's working in his favor, at least.
It's October 16th. They play home against Ohio State. Next week, they go road at Iowa. There's no doubt that those two games are the ones to watch.
Okay, and talk about a tough stretch there. That's about as tough as it gets. I don't see them beating both of those teams back to back. I just go on a limb. I'd say, which of those games did you say is in Madison?
The one in Madison is Ohio State.
Okay. I'm gonna see them losing that game to Ohio State. I think Ohio State's just too good, but definitely I could see them pulling off the win at Iowa City the next week, because a lot of people are saying Iowa's good, but they're a little overrated this year. And I don't know about you, I'm still not sold on Ricky Stanzi as a quarterback.
Well, here's the thing I am sold. I blogged the other day, I was going 12-0 this year into the bowl game. That's what I thought, because I looked at that team returning so many starters, and even the starters that they don't return could have been starters last year. I am sold on Ricky Stanzi. I'm sold on their trio of running backs that's the best in the conference. I'm sold on their receivers and on their defense completely. And I think they, compared to Ohio State, have all of their hardest games at home, which can favor them, obviously, in Kinnick Stadium. And I think that last year Iowa showed me kind of like they could just score just enough to win because their defense was so good and could hold teams down.
Yeah, that's, I guess, where I'm hesitant to call them a great team, because they won so many of those close games last year where balls are just bouncing their way. Luck was in their favor. I mean, Stanzi was turning the ball over at a crazy rate last year, and I don't see the luck being in their favor that much 2 years in a row, which is why I think it's going to come down to Ricky Stanzi becoming a more efficient quarterback. I definitely think you're right. They do have great running backs, a great line, and awesome receivers, so what could potentially be the weak link is Ricky Stanzi if he doesn't.
Yeah, no. Now Stanzi's 17 TDs, 15 interceptions last year, so, I mean, that's your point right there. But I do think that this defense at Iowa, I'm willing to call them top three in the nation.
Oh, yeah, their quarterback, Norm Parker, their coordinator, Norm Parker, is just a genius. And they got Claiborne returned on a defensive line who a lot of people are saying is this year's version of Ndamukong Suh from Nebraska. So, yeah, I agree. It's solid all across the board on defense.
Right. And then looking at Ohio State, the thing I didn't like is their last four games. Let me read them off for you. At Minnesota, home against Penn State, at Iowa, home against Michigan. I had them undefeated until those four games, and then I told myself that I just couldn't see them winning all four of those for some reason, because it's Michigan, it's Penn State still, it's at Iowa, and I think Minnesota is one of the most underrated teams in the conference.
And that's an interesting pick. A lot of people think there's kind of a sleeping, what could become a sleeping powerhouse, but a good team in the Big Ten. They've got some good recruits. They've had some good recruiting class the past few years. But they, yeah, that could be, that's on the road, so it could be a tough game for the Buckeyes. The thing about the Iowa game, I guess Ohio State is 11-1 versus Iowa since 1992. And they're averaging about a 20 play per game margin of victory. So Ohio State has handled Iowa pretty easily in the past, I don't know, 12, 13 years. I think it's about time Iowa changes that around.
Right. And I mean, I didn't know that stat, but that's certainly the way I felt. But, you know, also with Ohio State, we have to talk about Terrell Pryor, because we talked about John Clay. If he wins the Heisman and is Ron Dane, then they're in the Rose Bowl. But you have to say the same thing for Terrell Pryor if he's like Troy Smith than they're in the national title game.
For sure, yep. And he's another guy I'm not quite sold on yet. A lot of people, they put him in the Heisman race in the preseason based on what he did in the Rose Bowl last year. But, you know, if you look back, what he did up until the Rose Bowl was not overly impressive. So they're kind of basing all that hype on his Rose Bowl performance, which, don't get me wrong, it was a great game for Terrell Pryor, but I'm still waiting to see a little more out of him before I call him a Heisman contender.
Right, and I mean, I thought the same thing. Like, to this point, he's had probably a disappointing career with all the hype that he had out of high school. So, I mean, this year he's got a lot on his shoulders now, being the preseason favorite for that Heisman. You know, I can't see him being as good as he was against Oregon for 12 or 13 games this year.
Yeah, I gotta agree. And they got, you know, Miami's no pushover. They got a schedule where they're gonna test Pryor, and he's really gonna have to have his best year of his career so far to even come close to living up to the hype.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess let's move to Minnesota, actually, because we were talking about them earlier. I'm pretty high on Adam Weber, their quarterback, and they don't return a lot of starters, but as I said, I think they're an underrated team that I picked to finish 6th in the Big Ten this year.
I'm sorry, you cut out there. Picked them to finish where in the Big Ten?
6.
Oh, okay, so that's pretty high. Yeah, I think I read a lot of people think Adam Weber is probably the best quarterback people have never heard of, and I guess he's a career passing leader in Minnesota football history, and he still has a year left to play, so he's at, I think, 8,238 yards, and that's almost 1,000 more than the second place passer in Minnesota history. So he's been an underrated quarterback. I agree with you there. This team, all across the board, is just fast, I think. Tim Brewster, having come from Texas, he knows the importance of recruiting speed. So he's got a lot of speed on this defense, a lot of speed on the offense. Biggest question, like you said, is their inexperience. They do not return a lot of starters at all.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you can't really win in the Big Ten without experience, because you know every other team has it.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can be an amazing player in high school, but you step on the field in the Big Ten Conference and it's just a completely different story. So you definitely need that experience to be a good team.
And isn't that what happened to Terrell Pryor? I mean, he was amazing in high school, but he got thrown into it at Ohio State on the big stage, and he wasn't ready for Big Ten defenses because he'd never seen that before.
Definitely, yeah. I think people told him how amazing he was coming out of high school, and he just underestimated the transition that was going to happen from high school to the Big Ten. And it's just something you can't prepare for without actually having game experience.
And Ohio State's running backs, that was another one of my big questions about them. You know, I don't know that they've been amazing in their careers, and I don't know that they've, you know, done enough for me to call them running backs that, you know, can help a team or get a team to the national title game, because if Terrell Pryor has a bad game, then they're going to have to lean on them, but I don't know if they're that elite.
Yeah, they've got, according to the recruiting rankings, you'd think Ohio State might have the best running back or in the country, but they really haven't shown that on the field yet. They've been good, but not outstanding. And definitely they're going to need them to be outstanding this year, just to take some of that pressure off Terrell Pryor. Because you know opposing defenses are going to key on Pryor. Be focused on keeping him in the pocket and make him throw the ball. Well, if you're Ohio State and you can run the ball, you eliminate that problem altogether, and you know Terrell Pryor doesn't have to hardly do anything.
Yeah, okay, before we move on to the next conference we could talk about here, your prediction, I guess you know mine. Iowa goes undefeated, Ohio State loses one game, Wisconsin 2 games, and that's my top 3, and that's how close this conference is. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the trendy pick. I have to say Ohio State wins the Big Ten. To me, they're just too stacked on both sides. football at every position. And the thing is their depth. They're deep at every position, too. So I don't see them doing anything less than winning the conference. And they might lose a game, meaning they won't play for the national title, but I see them back in the Rose Bowl this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. I just can't get over Ohio State just because, you know, they're ranked so highly, but even though their defense is really good and their offense is pretty complete, I just can't see this team, you know, winning the conference with such high expectations this early.
Yeah, a lot of people have that same question, but they also return a lot from last year. They got pretty much everything going in their favor. A lot of their toughest games, with the exception of Wisconsin and Iowa, are played at the Horseshoe, and we all know how tough it is to win there. I don't know, I have a hard time picking out multiple games on the schedule that they would lose to make it so they're not the first place team in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, I guess.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I guess, you know, so, like my pick, someone would have to go undefeated probably to dethrone them, but real quick, U of I, there's 11 teams in the Big Ten. Where does U of I finish this year?
I'm going to say this would probably be the highest they'd finish, anywhere from 5 to 8 in that range. I think the most important game by far in Ron Book's coaching career is that opener against Missouri, because that will probably set the tone for the whole season. So, you know, if they win that game, they'll probably be closer to the fifth place finish in the Big Ten. Lose it, they might be looking closer to the eighth spot. But, you know, this team has the talent to make some noise in the Big Ten.
If they beat Missouri and then they upset Ohio State, true or false, Ron Zook gets a contract extension the day after the Ohio State game?
You know, I would say that's probably true. That would be quite a miracle considering where they came from last year.
Okay, moving on. You can pick this time what conference you want to spotlight for a little bit.
Well, I'll start with the Big Ten. How about we move on to the SEC, what's considered the best in the nation?
Okay, that's fine. All right, well, I mean, you got to start at the top, I guess, with Alabama. It's very hard, like you said, not to pick Ohio State. Well, it's going to be even harder not to pick Alabama.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And there's definitely a reason why they're preseason number one in basically every poll that's come out. If I remember right, they return, what is it, one starter on defense or something like that?
Yeah, I think two. I think two.
Two starters, yeah, so it's something really low. The problem is, or I guess it's a good thing for them, is that the talent they're replacing those defense starters with is better than that any other team's bringing in, so you would have to think there's not going to be too much of a drop-off.
Well,
and we all know their offense is pretty loaded this year. They got all their skill guys back. They've got their backup running back is the Heisman contender, and that shows you just how good they are.
Yeah, and their defense, I don't know if you agree with me, but their defense, talent-wise, is better than what they had last year, and last year they were a top-five defense.
Yeah, absolutely. On paper, they look better than last year. Last year was still some of the guys from early in Nick Saban's tenure, from late in, was it Mike Price's tenure before Nick Saban?
Yeah.
Yeah, so on paper, yeah, these guys definitely look better. And you know, being an SEC Nick Saban defense, you're going to be fast, they're going to fly the ball. So they could surprise people on defense.
Yeah, and then on offense, as you said, they're deep at running back. Mark Ingram probably won't win a Heisman this year because they don't like giving it to repeat people. But, you know, there's also no reason that Trent Richardson shouldn't be able to either. I mean, in the video game this year, first year, Ingram got hurt and Trent won the Heisman.
Trent Richardson won the Heisman?
Yeah.
It's,
and then they have a quarterback that hasn't lost a game ever.
Yeah, unbelievable. 30-0, I think, is the number. He's another one of those guys that was never considered a superstar, but he just wins games. So, that's really all you need, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly kind of like the Joe Montana sort of quarterback right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Not the most, he's not as hyped as Terrell Pryor, but he wins games, and what more could you ask for after quarterback?
Well, yeah, and he has a lot of weapons, and he has a good offensive line, and then his defense does work, so really there's not a lot that he doesn't already have.
That's right, yeah. He has to give a lot of credit to the talent around him for that record that he has assembled, because his high school team was loaded with Division I talent. Then he steps into a situation in Alabama where he's just surrounded by a bunch of future NFL players. So you give some credit to McElroy for being a great quarterback, but you got to give some credit to his offense as well.
Definitely. Week 2, Penn State comes to Alabama. Is that any sort of trap game, you think?
No, I don't think so. I don't see Penn State as being an amazing team this year, especially when you hear Joe Paterno talk about how he still doesn't know who the quarterback's going to be, and that's never good. So, you know, you see Penn State having to go down to Tuscaloosa, that makes it even worse for them. And I'm not sure Penn State's going to be as good this year anyway, so I see Alabama winning that game pretty easily, and I don't think it'll be as good of a game as a lot of people think it might be.
I think their schedule is slightly tough. I think they have a lot of home games that they're going to be happy to have, like Florida, but
sure.
I think the end of October, early November, they go home against Ole Miss, and then at Rocky Top, and then at the Death Valley for LSU. I think those are probably three of their toughest games of the year right there. And Ole Miss, just because they have Jeremiah Masoli now.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, that stretch is going to be brutal, but if you take it back a few games before that, they play at Arkansas at the end of September, and Arkansas is going to be, I think, a great team this year. So they go to Arkansas, mm-hmm. then they play
yeah.
Florida. Then they go to South Carolina, who I've heard people talk about them as a sleeping giant in the SEC. And then right after that, the stretch that you just talked about. So that's six games in a row where they could easily lose any of those games.
And take this into consideration, too, when Florida was trying to repeat, it was Ole Miss that took them down. So there could be a little bit of history repeating itself right there, just with Alabama and Ole Miss instead of Florida and Ole Miss this time.
Yeah, you never know. That Ole Miss-Florida game was at Florida, too, and this Ole Miss-Alabama game is at Alabama. So
right.
I think Mississippi likes the role of the hunter rather than the hunted. So, yeah, this could absolutely be a trap game for the Crimson Tide.
Now, is there anybody else in that SEC West that has a chance of getting close record-wise with Alabama? Because I don't know if Auburn and LSU are quite there yet.
Yeah, I think Arkansas definitely is a contender because of who they return, mainly on offense. They got, you know, Ryan Mallett, Heisman contender, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. But the thing that stands out to me is their wide receiving core. It's probably the best wide receiving core in the country. They got Joe Adams, Greg Childs, DJ Williams is the top tight end in the country, I think, by far. So they've got great receivers. Now it's definitely not going to have a problem finding someone to get the ball to. But they bring back a lot of guys on both sides of the ball. They lost their offensive coordinator, which you would think might hurt them a little bit, but it was really Bobby Petrino's offense, so he and Bobby Petrino are still there. So I think Arkansas is about to have a great year, and that showdown with Alabama on September 25th is an early season game that could turn out to be one of the best season, I think.
Now, but you got to check their schedule out here. Before that Alabama game, they go to Georgia. Then they have Alabama home against, well, I guess it says it's a home game against Texas A&M, but that game is in Texas. They go to Auburn, home against Ole Miss, and then watch out for the home game after a long, grueling schedule against Vanderbilt.
Absolutely. Do you think Bobby Caldwell is bringing some new life into that Vanderbilt program? I can't remember now. Is Bobby Caldwell the guy at West, or is he the new guy?
He's the new guy, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, they say he's great at media day, and he brings a lot of energy, and that could definitely be a surprise sleeper game for Arkansas. It could be tough for them.
I mean, but do you think Arkansas can win the SEC?
I think they can win the SEC West. And then get to that title game, probably playing Florida. I'm not sure they can beat Florida if they play them in the title game, but I could see them. You know, if they beat Alabama in game two of the SEC schedule. Other than that, I don't see them with a high chance of losing any of the rest of the games. So they're as much of a contender as Alabama, I think.
I think the Texas A&M game is tough, though.
The good thing is it's not technically a home game for Texas A&M, although you have to think it'll be mostly A&M fans in the stands. Is that in the Stadium or what?
Arlington, I think that's it, right?
Yeah, it's not the Cotton Bowl, I don't think. So, yeah, it must be the Cowboys Dome.
I think so, yeah.
So yeah, it could be tough, definitely.
It's going to be packed, too, obviously.
What was that?
It's obviously going to be packed, also, because there's so many seats.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I don't think Arlington is, it's not an awful drive from Fayetteville, Arkansas, so I would think Arkansas will bring a lot of fans as well.
Yeah, certainly, especially for as big of a game in the middle of their season there.
Yep. And moving on to that, talking about that Texas A&M game, moving on to the Big 12, I guess. What do you think about Texas A&M's chances in the Big 12?
Well, that's interesting because I think they have a pretty good chance because I don't know that Oklahoma and Texas are as good this year. I think Texas A&M is favorable there because, one, they're at home against Oklahoma, and they can put everything that they want into the last road game of the season against Texas. But I'm going to put this out there right now. I think Nebraska wins the Big 12 this year.
And I got to say, I agree with you there. Big 12 South is looking a little bit on the downside this year, relatively speaking. And I don't think anybody's close to Nebraska in the Big 12 North. So, I think Nebraska wins the North easily. I see them playing Oklahoma in the title game for the Big 12. But, I think Nebraska wins that one.
Yeah, but I do certainly think that A&M is a threat because Jerod Johnson, as a senior, he has something to prove to the NFL that he's not just one of these running and gunning quarterbacks, but he's actually as good as like Andrew Locker Andrew Luck or Jake Locker.
Yeah, definitely. When you think of an NFL quarterback, you don't really picture Jerod Johnson as your top choice. But yeah, he absolutely has something to prove if he wants to make a statement in his final year. And a good way to do that, first of all, would be leading Texas A&M to a good season, and then also putting up some great numbers for himself.
Right, definitely, definitely there. But you're pretty high on Oklahoma, I guess.
I think, according to the Phil Field, I think we talked about this the last time. He has been winning the national title. I'm not sure if I'd go that far, but I do think they'll have a good year. You look at their offense, they got what I think is the best quarterback, running back, wide receiver combo in the nation, and Landry Jones, DeMarco Murray, and Ryan Broyles. Then you look at their defense, they return a lot on defense. The losses they had last year, don't be fooled by the record because they're all close losses, and when you return a lot of guys from a team that lost a lot of close games, they'll be hungry. And I see their schedule, although it's a little tougher, I see that
Right.
So definitely not any pushovers there, but I think Oklahoma can win all those games, especially because Florida State is in Norman, Oklahoma. But yeah, I think they'll be a really good team this year.
But do they lose a game before the Big 12 title game?
Looking down the schedule, I honestly think a game at Texas A&M looks like their toughest test this entire season. Okay. I see them beating Texas in the Cotton Bowl, or at the Red River rivalry in the Cotton Bowl. And then they go to Missouri. I think they win that one. But yeah, at Texas A&M, that could be a tough game. And one of the toughest places to play in the nation.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. The 12th man, definitely a tough place for anybody to go in there and win. But here's a bold prediction about Nebraska. They win the Big 12 and the champion and the Big 12 championship game, going undefeated and getting into the national title game. Say they win that, and then next year they're going to a Big Ten where a lot of key seniors in that conference graduated, and Nebraska still has probably the best team in that conference then.
Now, how about that? Say finish out their Big 12 career, that's the Big 12 champions and the national champions, and then they start off their Big Ten career as conference champions. That'd be pretty remarkable.
That would definitely be absolutely crazy. And Bo Pelini has actually said this summer many times that he thinks his team is going to win the Big 12 straight out.
Yeah, and although it might be true, I don't know if that's something you want to say as a head coach, because that's going to put the target right on their back. But,
it kind of gives him the Rex Ryan look, though, because he's saying that he's really cocky and confident in his team, and then he wants his team probably to back him up, obviously.
That's probably true, yeah. And I think they have the players that can back it up, so he might not be too far off in his prediction.
Yeah, definitely. I guess if there's no one else that you want to talk about in this conference, we could go ahead and move to the ACC. I think another one of the more intriguing teams is in the ACC, North Carolina.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of the Tar Heels this year, is that right?
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan of their defense, and then I think they kind of are going to have a silent hero on their offense, which is probably not who you'd expect it to be, but I think their defense is the best in the nation, and I think their offense, I think their starting quarterback, T.J. Yates, is not going to be the guy this year, but it's going to be the freshman, B.J. Renner.
Think he's going to beat out Yates for the starting job?
Well, I think he's going to get a chance this season, and Yates might start the season, but I don't think he's going to finish it. I've heard that Renner is kind of the guy that has a thrill for the dramatics and the big games and, you know, kind of like ice water in his veins. So I'm liking what I'm hearing from him.
That could be very possible. The good thing he has going for him is that Yates, he's not by any means an amazing quarterback. He hasn't put up great numbers thus far, so he could definitely overtake that starting spot at any point.
Yeah, certainly. And if Yates isn't performing as well as he should, which, he kind of needs to because the first game's against LSU, then he's going to get replaced. But I don't think the Tar Heels can go as far as some people think they will, because some people think they're a sleeper for the national title. It all depends on that first game against LSU.
Yeah, we will know pretty quickly whether or not they're contender or pretender.
Now, if...
Go ahead. All right, I was going to say, I have to be honest, I think North Carolina is going to be a little overrated this year. I think anytime, at least looking into the past, anytime you have a team that is hyped up really high going into the season, and they're not a team that's used to the hype, I've just noticed that teams don't really know how to handle it, and they end up, they get caught up in how good people are telling them they are, and they don't perform as well. Plus, you throw in all the Asian investigations on top of that. I think there's just too many distractions for that defense this year. They may be a good ACC team. I don't think they'll win the ACC. I'm not sure they'll beat LSU in that opener, but yeah, I think, bottom line, I think they're overrated this year. And I know that probably does not make you too happy if you hear me say that.
Well, you know, I understand, and you can say it if you want. I don't think they'll beat LSU because I don't think the ACC beats the SEC in anything, unless it's a ACC juggernaut versus Vanderbilt. But I think that North Carolina still could surprise people, just because I think if their defense lives up to the hype, then it's going to be one of those defenses that you're going to go down in history books for a long time.
Yeah, and on paper, they absolutely look like one of the best in recent years, at least, with all those first round draft picks. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll know quickly whether or not they're the real deal or not.
And then, I want to look at Florida State and Miami here, because they're probably two of the top teams in the ACC. And I think it's very interesting because Florida State plays Oklahoma on the road in week two. Miami plays Ohio State on the road in week two. I think if one of the teams wins their game and the other loses their game, that could make all the difference in this conference.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's not going to be much separation between the teams when conference break play comes along. I was thinking, you talk about Florida State, Miami, I'm thinking Miami is my pick to win the ACC this year. Although Florida State, they're calling Christian Ponder maybe the best quarterback in the country. But I think Miami just loaded all across the board. I think they're going to win the conference.
Yeah, and that could certainly happen. I don't think I'm as high on Miami as a lot of people are, because I really don't like Ja'Cory Harris very much. I think he kind of has disappointed his whole career. My pick might be kind of out of left field, but I think Boston College is pretty legit in this conference this year.
They seem to have a good team again in a weaker Atlantic division of the ACC. Why are you high on Boston College this year?
Well, I like their offense mainly for their running back, Montel Harris. You know, I think he's been the guy for a couple years now, and I think he can be one of the best running backs in the league. I think their defense is very, very good. I think especially their linebackers, with Mark Herzlick as the leader there, and an emotional leader at that, I think that they really are kind of that all-around team. And then to add to that, their schedule, week three, they have home against Virginia Tech. If they win that, then the rest of their schedule is pretty favorable, except for at Florida State on October 16th.
Mm-hmm. And, that four-game stretch right there, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, both of those at home. Then you go to North Carolina State, and then there's that Florida State game. Tallahassee.
Yeah.
So, that could determine the outcome. Another thing that adds to their case to be a good team, I mean, you can't overlook the fact that they got a Flutie on the team. Billy Flutie playing wide receiver this year, so.
That's true.
Good thing for BC this year.
That's so true. And one more thing to add to the Boston College argument, I think it helps them that the winner of the ACC might have a 2 or 3 loss season even this year.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of good teams in the conference this year.
And then the best teams seemingly have very tough schedules, like we highlighted with Miami and Florida State.
Mm-hmm. And especially in that coastal division, the top four teams are probably going to be, I don't know about the order, but it's probably going to be Miami, Virginia Tech, Carolina and Georgia Tech, and looking across those four teams, they're all really good teams with a little separation between them, so that could be a tough division and a great race as the season goes on.
Do you think that Virginia Tech disappoints like they, usually do?
Yeah, I have to be honest. always good in Blacksburg, but Tyrod Taylor, good quarterback, but and they've got Ryan Williams on as a running back, but the rest of the offense, I'm not so sure can win the ACC for them. So yes, I do think they might be a little overrated this year.
I will point out though that I think their rushing kind of couplet there with Ryan Williams and Darren Evans is better than the one at Alabama, because Ryan Williams exploded when Darren Evans got hurt as the starter last year, and so they have two starters anywhere in the nation on their team.
Absolutely, yeah. So you love to have that depth, especially at running back, where sometimes you can take a beating.
Yeah. And on the Virginia Tech schedule, you know, take your pick on this one. They start the year home against Boise State. That is a big game for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, just a prediction, I think Virginia Tech, sick of hearing about how Boise State needs this game to keep their national title hopes alive, how this is a must-win for Boise. There's no way they lose this. I gotta be honest, I think Virginia Tech pulled this one out.
Really?
I didn't mean crushed in terms of score. I meant gets their hopes crushed, I should have said.
Right.
But yeah, I do think Virginia Tech wins.
So, if you have Boise State losing, then that's their national title hopes gone, right?
Right, yeah. I fully expect them to return to a BCS game after that. Virginia Tech game, they only play Oregon State, but the rest of their schedule, pretty simple to them. So I see them with one loss back to BCS, winning the BCS game. Same old story for Boise State, but I do not think this is the year that they play in the national title game.
Okay, but then is this the year for TCU? Are they going to go undefeated and be the BCS buster? They have Oregon State to start the season, which they have at home, but that's a very tough game.
Yeah, I think TCU's got a great team again with a lot of guys back, but problem is, I don't know if they're starting up high enough in the rankings, because play for the title, you're going to go undefeated. You got to be really high to begin with, plus have teams ahead of you that are going to lose. And I just don't see enough teams ahead of them that are going to lose enough games to put TCU in the top two at the end of the year.
Yep.
Which is too bad for TCU, because they might deserve it more than anybody, but I don't see them ending up in the title game.
Definitely. We can move on to the Pac-10, I guess. My favorite conference in the nation this year, because I think they're a really deep conference and they're going to be a really fun conference.
For sure. You got to talk about the quarterbacks they have in this league. The top five quarterbacks could all great NFL player someday. You got Walker, obviously, at Washington. Luck at Stanford, who a lot of people say is probably better than Walker in terms of pro prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barkley at USC, Foles at Arizona. We got some great quarterbacks out there, and should be a fun conference to watch this year.
And then, obviously, it's going to be the most fun because of the twin tandem at Oregon State with the hardest guy to tackle in the nation, which is Quiz Rogers.
For sure. Not to mention having one of the coolest names in the nation, but yeah, he's a great player, no doubt about it.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite players in the nation, obviously. What do you think? Who's the favorite this year for the Pac-10?
Well, if you would have asked me this about a month ago, I would have said Southern Cal. But with all the turmoil around that program and the transfers they've had, I'm not so sure. Or as of right now, I'm saying Arizona's got a great chance to win this conference.
Really? Arizona?
I love Nick Foles as a quarterback. And I don't think they play Iowa, but they play him in Arizona. So I don't think, other than that, I don't think their schedule's too hard at all. We got Iowa at home, Oregon State at home, Washington at home, USC at home. The only places they go to are Stanford, that's tough, and Oregon is always tough, but I think they could be a sleeper Pac-10 champion playing in their first Rose Bowl in a long time.
That's very interesting. I didn't expect that. But for me, I think it starts and ends with Oregon State, just because I think their offense that they return with the Rodgers brothers, and they return a lot of their receivers. Their offense is very good. I think their defense is very good. And Ryan Kantz, their quarterback, I think is going to be the guy that, out of all of the star quarterbacks they have, he's going to kind of sneak up behind him and be very, very good.
That's very possible, especially when you'd have to think the opposing defenses are going to key on Rodgers in the run game. That's a perfect time for Kantz to shine in this offense. The only problem is their schedule. Like we talked about, playing TCU in Louisville, although they haven't been great recently, under Charlie Strong, you figure they make a little comeback. They play at Boise, and that's tough, and then obviously the Pac-10's can be tough. So they had, by no means, they have an easy schedule.
But, I mean, I'm just going to keep going back to it. I think Quiz is probably tougher to tackle than John Clay is.
Oh, yeah. Quiz is just so shifty. You can't. Sometimes, and then when he gets in the open field, not the second gear, you can't really catch up to him.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly makes a good team.
Absolutely.
Same team in the state, Oregon. You know, there was all this fuss about them losing Jeremiah Masoli for the year, and then obviously for the rest of his career. But I don't really think I'm kind of on a lot of the sports writers' side on this. I don't really think Oregon loses that much by losing Jeremiah Masoli. I just think they have a quarterback now who's a lot more pass heavy than option heavy, which I think is fine, and I think it's good for them.
Yeah, definitely. And if you wanna have a quarterback that runs and can run the option last, then just put in a Wildcat package. They got enough athletes out there they can run the Wildcat, but then if you still have your drop back passer as your traditional offense, they'll be just fine. But the only thing for them is I'm not sure they know who the quarterbacks are gonna be yet. Between Aaron Thomas and Nate Costa, which I don't know a whole lot about either of those guys, but
well, that's
interesting, right?
That's the decision that Oregon has to make, Chip Kelly has to make, is if he wants to go a little bit less option, and that would be Nate Costa because he's less mobile. Darren Thomas is kind of the next Jeremiah Masoli, but regardless of their quarterbacks, which I think Nate Costa should be the starter, he's a senior. I think they have the three fastest running backs in the nation with LaMichael James, Kenjon Barner, and then the true freshman, Lake Seastrunk. And I think their receivers, I think DJ Davis is good. I think Jeff Mayo is amazing, and I think he's going to be very good in the NFL. So I think their offense is pretty set, and their defense is athletic as any.
For sure, and you talk about Jeff Mayo, I see a lot of Wes Welker in him.
Yeah. Definitely.
Nice white guy, quick, reliable. I think, yeah, he could be a great player for the Oregon offense.
Where do you see them finishing sub Jeremiah Masoli?
Yeah, I don't see them finishing a whole lot differently than I would have with Jeremiah Masoli. I think my top three in the Pac-10 is going to be Arizona, Oregon, in a close second, and then probably Southern Cal in third.
Okay. So the Oregon State schedule kind of kills them.
That's what I think, yeah. For a team that with their youth, they're kind of young other than at the skill position.
Right.
And they're not used to being in the elite talk of college football. I don't know if they can handle that schedule and win that game. But, I think Arizona, this is their year to make it to the Rose Bowl.
That's a big pick right there. I like the pick. You have SC finishing third. Lane Kiffin said this summer about his team, not being able to go to a bowl game or anything. He said you don't really have to be going to a bowl game to motivate his team. Now, I don't like Lane Kiffin one bit, and I don't believe what he said because I think a lot of all the college football players in the world want to play for national titles or you know, Rose Bowls or whatever. And so I think a lack of motivation has got to be there for USC.
Yeah, you would think so. The problem, or I guess the works in USC's favor that what's left on the roster is a heck of a lot of talent left over from the Pete Carroll era. And where it may start to hurt them is in a few years where they can't, like the recruits they would get this year, and the next year when they're on probation would be limited and they don't have a whole lot of room for error in terms of evaluating recruits. So I think they'll be good this year with a lot of talent left, but where we might see a little buff from the probation would be 2 or 3 years down the road.
Okay. Jake Locker, Andrew Luck, which is your number one pick?
I gotta go Luck. This guy, I'm trying to figure out the numbers off the top of my head, but when I first saw, realized the numbers he put up last year, I was just amazed, especially for a true freshman. But let me see if I can pull him up here. I think he's more polished than Jake Locker. Jake Locker had some accuracy issues, and he threw a lot of picks last year.
I think Locker's going to excel with Steve Sarkisian, though, as the head coach.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. He's an offensive-minded coach, and he's coached a lot of great quarterbacks at USC over the years. But, yeah, Locker, hopefully, a whole nother year under Sarkisian's belt will give him what he needs to succeed in the NFL and succeed in his senior season.
Yep. Okay, I don't think we missed any conferences, unless I'm missing something.
No, I guess the Big East, but...
Real quick for the Big East, actually, how good do you think Pitt is? I like their offense a lot, and I think they have a very good defensive line.
Yeah, definitely. They've got Romeo on the D-line, although I think... Just get injured or something, and he's not going to play in a few games, if I remember right.
Oh, I must have missed that, but yeah.
Yeah, that could... I don't think it's anything long-term, but it could hurt him at the beginning, but yeah, definitely got great running backs in Deion Lewis, and a quarterback, his name escapes me right now, but I know he was good last year. They could be a great team out in the Big East, I'm sorry.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they win that conference.
Yeah, it's not for nothing else than the fact that the Big East is really weak again. So it's probably between West Virginia and Pitt, and they come down to that rivalry game they play at the end of every year. But yeah, I agree with you. Pitt's the Big East champion this year.
What's your national championship game right now?
Yeah, this is always a tough pick. A lot of good teams out there this year, but I'm going to have to go... Oklahoma playing Miami, Florida in the national title.
Miami, you're really high on them, I guess.
I think this might be the year they put it all together, and I'm not sure I'd pick a national champion right now. I guess I'd have to wait till the end of camp to see who's hurt.
Yeah.
And whatnot, but if I had to pick one right now, I guess Oklahoma wins the title, but I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Does Arizona win the Rose Bowl?
I think they make it to the Rose Bowl. I did not see them win the Rose Bowl.
Big Ten's just
Ohio
too
State
good.
In the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And then I see Ohio State dominating Arizona in the Rose Bowl.
All right. Well, yeah. I got a. But I mean, I've thought about this. I guess I'm kind of on the Nebraska bandwagon for them getting to the national title, and I gotta stick with the things I write, so I have to put Iowa in there to play them. I don't know if I can pick a winner, but I'd want to pick Nebraska.
And then I would like to see them win the title, because I'm a fan of Nebraska. And how about that? If you're right, then Nebraska playing Iowa for the title game, just as Nebraska's about to join the Big Ten, and then they'll probably have a rematch of that title game the following year.
Yeah.
That's a great game.
Okay, so let's real quickly talk a little bit about Heisman. I mean, maybe like three guys that you think have the best chance to win it, or just flat out who you think will win it this year. you know, whatever.
Yeah, I guess you gotta start with, I'll go one at quarterback, one at running back, and one at wide receiver. Quarterback Heisman, I don't think it'll be Walker, I don't think it'll be Pryor. I think it's Andrew Luck, if anybody.
Okay.
Not saying he'll win it, but he's, I think, my top quarterback Heisman contender.
Okay.
At running back, I honestly think this might be the first year we see a repeat Heisman winner in Mark Sims. The first time since Archie Griffin, is that right?
Yeah, I can't believe that. He's going to have to share carries, though, I think, more this year than he did last year.
Yeah, you would think so, but I see him putting up some great numbers this year with another good line back, so I'll pick Ingram again to be the top running back. I don't know if he'll win the Heisman, but I think he'll be a top vote getter in terms of running back. And then wide receiver, I would think A.J. Green of Georgia is up there, except I'm not sure who's going to give the ball. Georgia doesn't really have a quarterback right now.
Yeah.
So he's probably down to Julio Jones or Ryan Broyles from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Broyles in that one because he's got a great offense and a great quarterback around him. So I think I'd say Broyles win the Heisman this year.
Okay. So he kind of reminds me of that Desmond Howard type.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great athlete like that, and he's probably one of the best receivers in the country this year, without a doubt.
My three, I really like Deion Lewis from Pittsburgh a lot. I think he's going to put up more monster numbers like he did last year, and then I think he'll be in New York. Quarterback, I really go back and forth between Ryan Mallett and, actually Ricky Dobbs from Navy. Because, I think they could be a very good team again this year. And, he puts up very good numbers. Last year he had 1,000 rushing and 1,000 passing. So, I think maybe if the voters kind of start to figure things out, maybe they go back to kind of old school and go with Ricky Dobbs to be in New York.
That's a great pick. I think Navy's going to have some national exposure this year for that to happen, but yeah, in terms of numbers, he could definitely do it.
And then, I don't know about receiver. I don't know if there's a specific guy that I could see going. I could kind of see Michael Floyd going there from Notre Dame, just because I feel like he's got to be the guy there that just gets everything this year, passing wise.
Yeah, definitely. Will he be able to get him the ball?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even know how much I like Crist at this point right here. We'll have to see come game one. But I do like your pick with Broyles. I could see that. I think there's a really good chance that it's Deion Lewis and Ricky Dobbs, and I think Ryan Mallett could be the guys in New York. I would think Deion Lewis would win the Heisman this year.
Interesting pick. Now, here's the real question. Does your man, Quiz, get any Heisman hype this year and get to go to New York for the ceremony?
Ooh-hoo. That's a good question. Oh, yeah. Man. He's got to get some hype.
I think so, yeah.
Jesus. I mean, because he's going to lead that offense, whether they have a good quarterback or not. That's tough.
Would you cry a little bit if he showed up in New York?
I'd like it. I'm not going to deny that. I'd like it a lot.
Absolutely, yep. I think I'd be right there with you.
Here's another question, though, for you. I feel like maybe this could be the first year since 97, I think, where we could see defense. I think Patrick Peterson's one of my top five favorite players in the nation, the cornerback out of LSU, and I think he's the best corner that's going to go to the NFL in probably the last 5 years or more. I can't even think back that far. With Iowa, with my pick Iowa being so good, I think Adrian Claiborne could be there. And then you got to think if North Carolina's defense is as good as they are, you have to think that they probably have one of those guys getting votes.
Yeah, you make a good point. There's all kinds of defensive talent this year around the nation. You listed off some good ones, but there's also Cameron Hayward out of Ohio State. He's got a shot.
That's true.
Defensive end, so.
True that.
Yeah, I could see another defensive player getting a trip to New York this year to follow in the footsteps of Sue.
Yeah. Speaking of Sue, actually, that's a great lead-in because I was just about to ask. A lot of people think that in terms of leadership and being a good defensive tackle, Nebraska has Jared Crick this year. A lot of people think he's just as good as Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about Crick as a defensive tackle, and I'm not sure if he's as physically gifted as Suh, but I think he's smart, just as smart, if not smarter, as Ndamukong Suh. Problem is, I think Crick shined last year because all the attention was focused on Suh. This year, Crick is the guy, so I think they'll be focused on him. It may open the door for other guys in that line, or other linebackers, but I'm not sure Crick's going to have crazy numbers because he'll just be the center of attention.
Okay. One last thing. I picked Notre Dame 5-7 this year, but do you think Brian Kelly's the guy? I certainly do.
As much as it hurts to say, because if you haven't noticed yet, I'm not a big Notre Dame guy.
I understand.
I think Brian Kelly is the answer for Notre Dame. He's a great football coach, and he's won everywhere that he's been. And he brings what Notre Dame needs. Defensive mindset and a lot of hard work, and he recruits with the best of them.
Yep, and I like the fact that in an interview he was brutally honest when he said there's nobody on this roster that is that good. There's some of the starters on this roster that wouldn't have even made Cincinnati last year, with the exception of Michael Floyd. So I like his honesty.
Yeah, for sure. Charlie White, the NFL background, probably got caught up in telling everybody how good they were, and sometimes that's not what you want to hear, what they need to hear as a player. So, yeah, you like Kelly, you tell me it like it is.
All right. Well, let's see, we've been going for like an hour now. I think it's time to let you go, but thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good to talk to football again. What are we, about less than 3 weeks away now from the opener?
I think so.
Should be a good season as usual.
It should be. All right, talk to you soon.
Yep, sounds good.